Revelation chapter 4.
I doubt very seriously that it happens as often.
And getting started, I want to say in the verses we just read,
listen, folks,
we have
worship
Matthew's
is not just
record
to be done when we're here
two
in church.
Miracles
you need to have a spirit of worship
by the
all
Lord
the
Jesus
when
Christ when he was
else.
Here on the earth.
If you
as
want
God
to
manifest
say, will,
in the flesh.
Got to have
in verses 1 to 4, we read where he healed a leper. Then,
not only a spirit
in
of worship,
five
but I want
to say secondly, another thing
he
I see
healed
here that is
the servant to get the Lord to say, I will, is a spirit of humility. A spirit of humility, not just a spirit of worship, but a spirit of humility. One thing I see in both of these men, is a spirit of humility. They did not come in their pride. They did not come in their arrogancy. They both approached the Lord with humility. Whenever you read in Mark chapter 1, verse number 40, which is a companion passage to the story of this leper being healed, this is what Mark says about him. Mark says that when he approached the Lord that he kneeled down. Kneeled down. You know what it's a sign of? It's a sign of humility. Him humbling himself in the presence of the Lord. Kneeling down on his knees there in the presence of the one he recognized as the Lord Jesus Christ. Then look here in Matthew chapter 8, and let's read for a moment about this centurion. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse number 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. You want to know some words that I think ought to be in our vocabulary? 1, 2, 3, 4 of them right there. I am not worthy. You know the problem with most Christians today? One reason why a lot of Christians can't get in touch with the Lord? Because they believe they are worthy. There's arrogance and pride when they approach the Lord. I am worthy. I am deserving of the Lord to do this for me. The better thing for you to say is what Jacob said when he approached the Lord. He said, I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies. That's the better attitude and the better approach to take when you come to the Lord. I am not worthy. I think about John the Baptist. Didn't he say those same words? When everybody's questioning him, trying to figure out who he is, he said, look, guys, I am just a voice crying in the wilderness. He said, there's one coming after me who is preferred before me. And he said, I'm not even worthy. I am not worthy to unloose his shoe. Those are some words that you ought to get in your vocabulary, friend, if you want to really get in touch with the Lord. As long as you walk around in arrogance and pride thinking that you're God's gift to the world and God's gift to him and God's gift to everybody else and I deserve this, I can promise you, you're not going to get very much from the Lord. I am not worthy. He says, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. I don't even deserve you to come into my house. So if you'll just do this for me, just speak the word right here and I know that my servant will be healed because I don't deserve you to even come in to my home. You know what that is? That's a spirit of humility, friend. Both of the men had it. Both had a spirit of worship. Both had a spirit of humility. The Bible says God hates pride. Amen? It's an abomination in the eyes of God. We're not talking about some little minuscule insignificant thing. We're talking about something that's a big deal. Anytime the Bible says something is an abomination in the eyes of God, friend, that's about as big a deal as it gets right there. Pride is an abomination in the eyes of God. Listen carefully. The scripture says God resists the proud. Isn't that what it says? It doesn't say he embraces the proud. It doesn't say he accepts the proud. It doesn't say he hears the proud. It doesn't say he answers the prayer of the proud. It says God resists the proud. But he giveth grace to the humble. Isn't that what it says? He giveth grace to the humble. You got to have a spirit of humility. You know, when I read this story right here, I see that in my way of thinking anyway, humility was easier for one of these fellas than it was for the other. I mean, you got two completely different people here with completely different problems. And I see that humility would have been easier for one than the other. You take this leper as he comes. He's a leper, for goodness sakes. You know very much about leprosy. You know that is a horrible, horrible disease that people get. People still get leprosy today, by the way. We're not just talking about something that existed back in Bible times. There's still leper colonies in this world today. It is a very real disease that people get, and it absolutely destroys your body. It turns your body into a putrefying stench is what it does, where you have sores that ooze and run, and your body literally rots to the point that members of your body begin to fall off. Fingers and ears and nose and toes, these things begin to fall off. It's a disease you see in the Bible that isolates people from their family, from friends, from society as a whole. In the Bible, you read where if a person was a leper, they had to get out away from everybody in their own little group, in their own little colony. And if they got around somebody, you know what they had to do? They had to cry out, unclean, unclean, and let people know that they were a leper. What I'm trying to say is, and maybe I'm wrong, I just don't see where it would have took a whole lot for that fellow to have a spirit of humility. Because if you get to thinking about it physically and probably financially, because I doubt very seriously being a leper, he was able to hold down a very good job. He didn't have a whole lot going for him, did he? He really didn't. So I don't really think it was that big of an issue with him. But here's what I know. I know that sometimes God allows us or somebody close to us to have a problem in order to help us with humility. How many of you be willing to admit this morning that pride is a bigger issue for some than it is others? I mean, we all got some stuff, okay? We all got these besetting sins. We just well be honest this morning. Let's all take our halos off today and admit you got something in your life you struggle with every day, don't you? If not every day on a regular basis, you struggle with it. And it may be different from me. I'm sure I have things I struggle with that you don't struggle with. That's just kind of how it is in the Christian life. We all have that thing. And for some, what is a big issue is pride. There are some people who really struggle with pride. And so because they can't humble themselves like the Bible says, you know what God will do? He'll help them. He'll help them. He'll give them an issue or somebody very close to them an issue to help them with their pride. Let me give you an example from the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we think about the Apostle Paul, verse number 7. You know what he says in that verse? He says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." You know, in a nutshell, what he's saying, what he said two times in that verse? To keep me humble, God gave me a thorn in the flesh. Or allowed the devil to give it to me, ever how you want to see it. But that's what he's saying. God help Paul right there. And let me just say something to you this morning. If God's helping you with pride, I don't know if he is. Maybe that's not your issue. But if he's helping you with pride, you ought to be thankful this morning. Because having a spirit of humility is essential for you making it anywhere in your relationship with the Lord. Especially getting him to say, "I will." You need to be thankful. Well, let me hasten to say quickly, not only should you be thankful if he's helping you with that, but I want to warn you this morning, if you're like this other fellow in the story and have a position of authority, you need to be careful that you don't let that inflate your ego and cause you to have a spirit of pride. See, it probably was easy for the leper to have a spirit of humility, but what about this centurion over here? This is a man who's responsible for 100 people. He is in a position of authority. Now, he says this in verse number 9. He says, "I am a man under authority." He had somebody that was over him, right? But he also had some that was under him as well. Because he says, "Having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth." He says, "I'm under authority, but I'm also in authority." And y'all know what that does to people, don't you? Most of the time when somebody gets a position of authority, it goes to their head, doesn't it? It happens. And they start thinking more of themselves than they ought to think. But look, if you're like the leper and God's helping you with it, it's got something in your life, thank him for that. If you're like this centurion and you're in a position, God's doing good things for you, just make sure you always maintain that spirit of humility and realize who it is that got you to where you are in your life. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Just as quick as he gave it, he can snatch every bit of it away from you. Every last bit of it he can take away. And it will, a spirit of pride will keep you from getting what you need. Because, hey, you may have everything going for you right now, but I'm telling you, there's a day coming in your life somewhere down the road where you're going to need to get in touch with God. No matter how popular, no matter how wealthy, no matter how famous you are, you're going to need to hear him say, I will. And if your heart is full of pride, friend, you can hang it up. Better keep that spirit of humility. I got two more and I got to hurry on. Number three, you got to have a spirit of worship. You got to have a spirit of humility. Another thing I see in this passage, if you want to get Jesus to say, I will, you got to have a spirit of faith. A spirit of faith. Both men had a spirit of faith. If you look at chapter 8, verse 2, when this leper approaches the Lord, he worships him saying, Lord, if thou wilt, what does he say? Thou canst make me clean. You know what he believed? He believed he was in the presence of somebody that could solve his problem. He said, if you will, I know you can make me clean. Look on down in this same chapter at verse number 8. This fellow says, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You know what that is? That's faith. He didn't believe Jesus had to come and be in the presence of his servant and touch that servant. He said, you can just speak the word right here, right now, and I know my servant will be healed. That's a spirit of faith. He believed. Jesus, by the way, acknowledged the spirit of faith that he saw in that man. Look at verse 10. Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Verse 13, he says, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. It's a spirit of faith. I was going to take you there, but we don't have the time. Let's give them to you, and you look them up sometime if you will. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. It's a verse that most of us know by heart. What does that Bible say? For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Isn't that what it says? Listen to me. It says, for he that cometh to him, you come to him, you must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Isn't that what it says? You must. It's an absolute must. When you come to him, you must believe that he is and that he will reward your faith in him. You must. James chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. We're not going to go there, like I say. James tells us there, as he's writing under the inspiration of the Spirit, that when we ask, we got to ask in faith. Nothing wavering, the Bible says. Because if we waver, he says this. He says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Faith is critical. It's absolutely critical. You have to believe that you serve a God who can take care. Time to go there, but when you read Luke chapter 7, which is the companion passage to the story about this centurion and his servant, this is what you read in that story. It says there, the elders of the Jews said about this centurion, they spoke to the Lord Jesus Christ, the elders of the Jews, about this centurion, and they said this, they said these words, that he's worthy. For this miracle to be performed for him. Now, what did that man say about himself? He said, I am not worthy. Right? And he believed that. But when those elders spoke up and was talking to Jesus, they said, he is worthy to have this done. You know what that is? That's Bible. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 2 says this, says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. If something good is going to be said about you, just make sure somebody else says it. Amen. Not you. Let somebody else say it. But they said he's worthy. And then they go on to explain. The reason they cited for believing this man worthy of this miracle was his benevolence, his generosity. This is what they said about him. They said, he loveth our nation and hath built us a synagogue. We're talking about a Roman here doing this for the Jews. And these Jews are acknowledging his generosity, his benevolence, his love for them. They say he loveth our nation. And I want to say this real quick, real quick. The number one issue when it comes, not the only issue, but it is the number one issue when it comes to the blessing and prosperity of a nation is how that nation is toward God's people. Let me tell y'all something. I'm not a politician. I don't like to get into all this politics and stuff. You better consider how Canada is toward Israel before you consider anything else. That's what you better consider. You know, most people go to the poll and it's all about money. They wouldn't admit that to you, but that's what it's about. You better get behind a fellow that loves the nation of Israel, because God made a promise and said, those that bless you, I will bless, and those that curse you, I will curse. It doesn't matter who they are. They can make all the promises in the world. If they turn their back on Israel, they're going to bring the curse of God on this nation, friend. That's who you better side but with. But back to the message here as I close this thing out. They said this man's worthy because of what he's done for us as a people. They acknowledged his generosity and his benevolence. Here's what I'm saying to you. If you want God to do for you, you have to be somebody that does for others. If you want him to open up his hand and say, I will, I'll meet your need, I'll take care of you, whatever that situation is, I'll fix it this morning. If you want him to do for you, then he needs to see that you are willing to do for others. I believe, if I'm not badly mistaken, God told Abraham that the reason he was going to bless him was so he could be a blessing to others, right? And didn't the Lord Jesus Christ say it is more blessed to give than to receive? This man was a giver. And because he was a giver, you know what God did when he had a need? When the Lord saw this man with a need approach him, because he knew that he was a giver, he gave to this man, and he took care of his need. There has to be that spirit of generosity. And here's one thing I got to show you, and I'm done. I'm not lying to you. I'm fixed to be done. Turn to the Gospel of Matthew, or excuse me, Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 1. I want to show you something real quick. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. To get the Lord to say, I will, there has to be a spirit of worship, a spirit of humility, a spirit of faith, and a spirit of generosity. But let me show you real quick as I end this thing up what you don't do when the Lord says, I will. When you are on the receiving end of a miracle, a blessing from God, when you have approached him with a need and he has took care of that need, here's what you don't do, okay? But unfortunately, it's what a lot of people do. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. We're reading a companion passage here. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony to them. He just received a miracle from God, right? Then he got some instructions. The Lord said, don't tell anybody about what I just did. Just go over there and offer what Moses said was to be offered. Look at verse 45. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter. Say, wow, that's good. He should have done that. No. Now, I know he's happy. I know he's excited. He's thankful that God did this for him. But you know what he should have done? Exactly what the Lord told him to do. That's what he should have done. The Lord said, don't tell anybody. But he goes out and he begins to publish it and blaze abroad the matter in so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. He couldn't even go into that city and minister like he needed to because that man didn't do what the Lord told him to do. You know what I see so often when people have a need, they come to the Lord. Many times the Lord is compassionate as he was with this fellow, and he gives them what they need. And then those people turn right around and go out and live a life that is contrary to what the Lord has told them to live. That's just a slap in the face is what that is. Folks, when we receive from his hand his goodness and his blessing, the response should be, Lord, thank you for what you've done. And then by his grace, to the best of our ability, live a life that honors him. Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, thank you for letting us be here today. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the truth. Help us, Lord, to take it and apply it to our lives, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. We have an invitation this morning. What page, brother? Right.